Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
Today, we will cover the defensive line. We'll talk about what the Bills have on their roster next year, what is available in free agency, and some prospects for the draft. But first, we'll discuss some interesting news that was reported by Ian Rappaport earlier today on February 22nd.
Yeah, so earlier today, Ian Rappaport first tweeted and then was on NFL Network talking about the Bills. He has some reporting that the Bills are going to pay Tyrod Taylor his roster bonus if they aren't able to trade him by that deadline and keep him on the roster until they have their quarterback situation squared away for 2018. Now, that's interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, because it was pretty widely believed that Tyrod Taylor is not going to be the Bills quarterback next year, and this pushes that needle a little bit more to the side of maybe he will be the quarterback next year. And second of all, that's a lot of money to pay a guy if you're just going to trade him after. So what do you think about that, Alex?
Yeah, I understand where the Bills might be coming from. You don't want to just totally bail on Tyrod Taylor if you don't have, you know, at least an equivalent replacement. And I know there's going to be a lot of back and forth on just how good Tyrod Taylor is as a starting quarterback, but we've talked about that in episode 2, what's available, and there's not really a lot there in free agency, and the draft is a long ways away from, you know, that third day of the leap year when they have to, you know, cut or trade Tyrod Taylor to avoid paying him that roster bonus. So I think it just doesn't make sense financially, especially with how the Bills have been pretty conscientious of the cap since Brandon Bean rolled into town. You know, I'd prefer to see them try to trade Tyrod Taylor, even if they can only get a lower round pick out of it. It's still better than cutting the guy or waiting to see what you get in the draft. Unless, the only way I would really support this is if they can use Tyrod Taylor as a chip to trade up to get another quarterback instead of sacrificing more draft capital. What are your thoughts on that, Nate?
Yeah, so I have a kind of different view of this whole situation. I think the Bills are kind of blowing some smoke here, and they're making teams think they're going to keep Tyrod for 2018, because if teams thought they were going to cut him, who would trade for him, right? If you're certain the Bills are going to cut Tyrod Taylor, if they can't trade him by March 16th when his $6 million roster bonus is due, why would you trade for him? So I think there's blowing some smoke.
And that does make sense, because if you're a team like the Arizona Cardinals or, you know, another team that's kind of middle of the pack and is in need of a decent starting quarterback to be a playoff team, like you said, why would you trade for Tyrod Taylor if you think they're just going to cut him? So, you know, I think that would be a smart idea for Bean and McDermott to kind of lay a smokescreen here and, you know, kind of cause some confusion and then maybe drive the price up to Tyrod Taylor if someone wants to trade.
Yeah, and I hope that's what they're doing, because I think the best you're going to get for Tyrod if you're trading him as a standalone piece in a trade is probably a third round pick. It's probably the best you're going to get for him. Just because the team you're trading him to, especially if you trade him before the roster bonus is due, is paying him $16 million for a 1 year contract. I think a third round pick, maybe. And that's why I think if they pay the roster bonus and then trade him for the same third round pick, you're essentially paying $6 million for a third round pick. Is that worth it? Probably not.
Yeah, I think those are good points, Nate. And, you know, that back in episode 2, my prediction was that Tyrod Taylor would remain the starter. But the more we see information come out that the Bills might be interested in moving up to 2 with the Giants, I think the Bills are all in on changing quarterbacks, so I think you make a good point that I think this is probably a smokescreen game.
Yeah, so I think let's hope it is, and we will see over the next, you know, 3 weeks before March 14th is the first day they can trade Tyrod, and on March 16th, I think it's like 4 p.m. on March 16th, they have to pay him $6 million if he's still on the roster. So, and if he's still on the roster, then it also voids the final 2 years of his contract, which is just a weird thing they did to drive the price down. When they redid this extension, it made the average per year like $3 or $4 million less or something. So today we are going to talk about the defensive line. The Bills don't really have a ton on the defensive line, you know, currently signed for next year. And it's a position that is going to need a lot of work. What do you think about what they have on the roster coming into 2018?
Yeah, I thought, you know, we really expected a lot at the defensive line with McDermott, you know, coming to the Bills as a defensive specialist and how well the front four played Carolina under him. And, you know, I think we should have tempered our expectations, you know, with hindsight. It makes it easy to do that. But just that defensive line was not as talented as it was back in 2014 when they either led the league in sacks or came pretty close. You know, Jerry Hughes hasn't put up the production of a player of his contract getting almost $10 million a year. He did finish with about 45 quarterback pressures on the season, but fortunately, for about half the season there, he just completely disappeared.
Yeah, and Jerry Hughes is someone who we've come to expect, you know, the 10, 12 sack seasons, 60, 70 pressures, especially given his production under Jim Schwartz, the 1 year that Schwartz was the defensive coordinator in Buffalo. And while he still is a good player, and especially in the run game, this year he really took a huge step back on pressuring the quarterback and especially getting sacks.
Right, and you know, the sacks are the stat that most people look at for defensive ends, but we should really look at the hurries and the pressures too. But even that, Jerry Hughes is not in the company of guys that are getting paid like he is. So you think there's a chance that Jerry Hughes is cut or traded before the season starts?
I can't see it happening. I mean, he's only going to be 29 years old this season. It feels like he could be in his 30s right now, given that he was traded to Buffalo from the Colts in 2015, and this next year will be his fifth year in Buffalo, or his fourth year in Buffalo, excuse me. And it feels like he should be a lot older than he is, but his deal really isn't that bad to keep him another year, and it's easier to get out of it next year than it is this year. The dead money is like $6 million to cut him right now, and next year it's only $3 million.
Just a quick correction there, Nate. He was traded to Buffalo in 2013, so he's actually played 5 seasons with the Bills already. But I think you make a good point there. I'm not sure anyone willing to take on that contract in a trade. It is only 2 years left on the deal, but you know, it is the best pass rusher they have, and it would be a major step back to cut or trade Jerry Hughes without, you know, when they have all the other holes on the roster. It doesn't make sense to give up one of your better players on the defensive side of the ball when, you know, he's got at least 2 good years of production left, especially on this contract.
Yeah, and I think there's a pretty good chance he takes a step forward next year, just given what he's done in his career and the whole regression to the mean. He's not going to have another season. Like, we know what kind of player he is. We know what he's capable of. And I just can't see him having another season like he had this year, especially given he's going to be in the same system again for the second year in a row with under Leslie Frazier. And hopefully they'll add some talent around him, some other pass rushing talent, especially in the middle at tackle, that will free him up to get more of those one-on-ones that he didn't get as much this year.
Right. And the Buffalo News had an article a couple months ago near the end of the season. Hughes had 28 quarterback pressures in the first 6 games, so he played really well those first 6 games. And then he just vanished for 9 games, only generating 10 pressures in those 9 games, and then he exploded for 7 in the final game against Miami. So he definitely has the potential. We expect him to kind of regress towards the and have a much better season next year.
So one thing that's interesting to me about that, when was Marcell Dareus traded?
I believe it was after that 6th game.
So that is probably, even though Dareus didn't really seem like he was interested in playing football a lot this year, that's probably a pretty big reason why he struggled so much after that. Because Dareus, even if he plays bad, is a monster and takes up so much space and can usually demand 2 blockers on pretty much every passing play. And that allows someone like Jerry Hughes to have that one-on-one against left tackle that he thrives off of.
Right. And I think that's where we kind of saw Kyle Williams take a bit of a step back. You know, it could be in part due to his age, but not having Marcell Dareus next to you makes your job a lot more difficult as the other defensive tackle. And while we're on Kyle Williams, do you think there's a chance he comes back next year, or is he going to retire, or the Bills just not want to pay him the money it's going to take to keep him on the roster?
So a couple things about that. First, I think Kyle Williams, if he wants to play football, will play for the Bills at whatever price the Bills want him or want to pay him. I mean, because the Bills are going to be fair to him. He is not going to get paid whatever his last contract was, like $7.5 million a year. But they'll be fair, but he'll also take a hometown discount, I think. I would be very surprised if he didn't play football for one more year. He'll be 35 years old. He just made the playoffs for the first time, and it didn't seem like he was done with football at the end of this year.
Yeah, I'd certainly like to see Kyle Williams back, but like you said, it has to be on the hometown discount. They cannot pay him $8 million, you know, for one year. If they really want to build this roster long term, they could use that cap space to either sign someone else or roll over into the next year. So we'll go to the other entrenched starter, defensive end, Shaq Lawson. What are your thoughts on his play this year when he was healthy?
When he was healthy, I thought he played really, really well. He is one of the better run-stopping defensive ends in all of football. He just has shown no semblance to pass rusher, really, when he in his years in Buffalo so far. And that's one of the things they drafted him to do. So at his current, what they're currently paying him, which is $3 million cap hit this year, more than worth it. To pick up his fifth-year option, which is somewhere in the range of, I think, like $10 or $11 million, probably isn't something the Bills are going to do.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Nate. Shaq Lawson at $3 million is what we would definitely call value at defensive end. Like you said, he hasn't been as impressive as we'd like him to be in the pass rush, but him and Hughes both are really good edge defenders against the run. And you know, it might not have shown because the Bills got completely gashed the last 10 games on the ground, but I think that was more due to the defensive tackle and linebacker play than those two. I think they still played pretty well against the run.
Yeah, I completely agree. A lot of the big runs against the Bills came right through the middle, and those guys did a really good job setting an edge and making tackles when they had to make tackles. And that's something they expect the Bills to be good at again next year, is defending the run. They have really, really good tacklers all across the defensive line. Another guy that I actually thought played really well, especially towards the end of last year. It took him a couple games after getting regular snaps to really get into it. But Adolphus Washington, I thought, especially against Miami and against Jacksonville in the playoffs, played really, really well for someone that is making less than $1 million.
Yeah, I think he could be a really good rotational defensive tackle for the Bills. I mean, ideally, he's a rotational piece, but for next year, he may have to be the starter depending on what they do in the draft and free agency. But like you said, coming at a cap hit of less than $1 million, that's pretty good value for a guy that played decently for you. I just don't know if you want to rely on Adolphus Washington long term. And if I remember correctly, I remember seeing an article that the Bills had a trade offer for him back during training camp. I can't remember what round pick it was, but it was fairly reasonable. So I don't know, maybe that's something they could look into in the near future. Maybe not this season, but maybe next offseason, moving Adolphus Washington if he plays well, try to get some value for him.
Yeah, so Mike Sando actually reported during training camp that the Bills were shopping Adolphus Washington, and there was some interest back and forth with him, and they were going to get a fourth or a fifth round pick out of him potentially. And I think when the Bills started 3-1, that kind of went out the window. But yeah, it's possible. I think, especially given that Adolphus Washington doesn't necessarily fit what the Bills are trying to do in the going forward on the defensive line.
And I want to go back to Shaq Lawson, Nate. So I believe they would have to pick up his fifth-year option before the end of the season, right?
Yeah, so they have to – I can't remember the exact date that the fifth year option needs to be decided on, but it's before the end of year four. So I can't see them picking up that up. I just can't see it happening. $10 million. It's
so just to play.
Go ahead.
Just to play devil's advocate here. What if Shaq Lawson, you know, has a kind of a breakout season? All of a sudden, he gets double digit sacks. Do you pick up that option? Maybe think about trading him. You know, kind of like the Panthers did with Kelvin Benjamin. They picked up his option and they ended up trading him, and they got pretty good value for him. If Shaq Lawson ends up being the player somewhat close to what he was evaluated at, is that, you know, a good long-term strategy for the Bills?
It could be. It definitely could be. The thing you have to think about if you're the Buffalo Bills is, if you do trade him, who are you going to replace him with this year when he's gone? And the Panthers had a plan, obviously, for when they traded Kelvin Benjamin. They really wanted to get other guys more touches on the field. And that's the one thing you have to think about. What do the Bills have behind Shaq Lawson unless they go out and draft a defensive end?
Right. And we know how much Brandon Bean values that compensation pick formula. So I'm just thinking, with, I believe Lawson's contract would expire next year along with Hughes, right?
That is correct. So if they don't pick up the option, he'll be a free agent after next season.
So if the Bills hypothetically were to lose Jerry Hughes and Shaq Lawson in the free agent market, that really, both of them would probably get paid pretty decently. I think they could get two mid-round picks and his compensation for that. So it's a long-term strategy. I think there's a lot of value in holding those guys on the roster to get other contracts.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's the other thing with Shaq Lawson is, even if you don't pick up his option, it doesn't mean you're not going to be able to re-sign him if he becomes a free agent and he has another good year and you want him back. Players tend to give some preference to the team they've played on, especially if they've had a good experience there. So just because you don't pick up the option doesn't mean you can't get him back in 2020.
So we have a couple other players that are signed to the roster on the defensive line. I don't think it's very noteworthy, but we've got my favorite name on the team, Cap Cappy. We've also got Marcavius Lewis and Ricky Hadley. Do you see any of those guys being anything more than rotational pieces or even guys that might get cut in training camp?
I mean, they're obviously going to bring all those guys to training camp and kind of see how it shakes out, especially with what they draft and who else they may sign in free agency. But no, none of those guys, at best, they're rotational pieces, and at worst, they're going to be cut sometime during training camp and the preseason.
So I think that pretty much wraps up what the Bills have on the roster for the 2018 season and their options going forward with those players. So, Nate, let's move on to the free agents now, and let's start with defensive end. I know there's a lot of top-end talent here, but do the Bills have a realistic shot at a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence or Ziggy Ansah?
I would say no, and the reason that I'm saying no is I don't think Brandon Bean is going to pay one of those guys. The Bills are set up really well to have a ton of cap space next offseason, and I think Brandon Bean is going to try to maximize that and spend money only as necessary this offseason.
I agree with you there, Nate. Like, DeMarcus Lawrence is probably going to get franchise tagged, and he's going to get paid this offseason, probably with a long-term extension. It's just completely out of the Bills' price range, I think, given that they have two capable starting defensive ends right now. And Ziggy Ansah, he's got some injury concerns, and he's approaching the age of 30, so I think that option's out. Do you see anyone else maybe further down on the tier of free agents that the Bills could sign as a depth player, or maybe a guy that could potentially be a replacement for Hughes in the long term?
So one guy that I think is really interesting is Deion Jordan. So if you recall, he was the third overall pick in the 2013 draft and kind of was a bust for a while. And this past season with the Seahawks, he played in five games and just dominated all five games. And he's a restricted free agent, so it would surprise me if he doesn't go back to Seattle, but it's possible that a team could sign some sort of an offer sheet to him that the Seahawks couldn't match. And given his absolute dominance last year in the games that he did play, it's an interesting option for Buffalo.
So if you're the Seahawks, what do you tender Deion Jordan at?
See, I just... Pete Carroll ranted about this guy and in an offseason press conference and was just saying how much he loved him and all this other stuff. So that makes me think that they're going to offer him, you know, $4, $5, $6 million a year, even though he really has played well, good football in the NFL for five games.
Right. So, I mean, they would have to tender him probably at the lowest level for the Bills to even think about trying to swipe him away. But you know, you never know. It's definitely worth a shot if the Seahawks do something surprising there.
Yeah, and outside of him, though, I don't really see anyone else that's going to be a free agent that doesn't have some major injury issues. And we know Brandon Bean's belief on availability and how important it is to him. And I just can't see him signing any of those guys with injury issues. And a lot of the other good free agents, I mean, even Ziggy Ansah, Trent Murphy, Alex Okafor, all have injury history and have missed entire seasons or parts of multiple seasons.
Yeah, the only thing I can see the Bills doing in free agency at defensive end is maybe signing a really older veteran guy as a rotational piece, so like Dwight Freeney or Julius Peppers, possibly. Get those guys on the cheap, you know, near the veteran minimum if they want to play. If not, I mean, I don't really see the Bills adding anything else here in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if they really added any pieces in free agency. They're not one of those teams that thinks, you know, they're one piece away from competing for the Super Bowl and would go out and do something like that, because they're obviously not one piece away from the Super Bowl. I mean, they're lucky if they get back to the playoffs next year. I just don't see them signing a veteran depth player like that for that reason.
Right. And where we see the free agent market get a little more interesting is at defensive tackle.
Yeah, so one guy that I really like as a defensive tackle that's going to be free agent this year is Dontari Poe from the Falcons. He really struggled his last year in Kansas City, then signed a one-year deal in Atlanta and played very, very well. And he has ridiculous potential. And he always has had ridiculous potential. He's only 27 years old. And he's a guy that fits into Sean McDermott's preferred system as that three technique who just gobbles up two offensive linemen every single snap.
Right. And when I looked at this defensive tackle free agent list, that's the first guy that my eye was drawn to was Dontari Poe. And I can't believe he's only 27 years old. So I think this is a guy, if the Bills do want to spend some money outside of E.J. Gaines or Preston Brown, I think Dontari Poe is someone they could realistically throw, you know, $8 or $9 million a year for, you know, at least 3 or 4 years. I wouldn't want to sign him beyond that just because you don't know how he's going to age, but I would be really excited if the Bills add Dontari Poe in free agency.
So, yeah, that's the one thing with signing Dontari Poe is the money. Right, so the Falcons paid him, I think, $8 million this season, and given, you know, his, I think, so SpotTrac has a fair market value for him being 3 years and $17 million, which is actually less than I would have thought, and I'd definitely pay him that kind of money.
Yeah, I'd even say a fair value might be 3 years in the neighborhood of $25 million if he plays as well as he did this year. You know, maybe they can structure the deal where they can get out of it if he doesn't play as well. But I just think that defensive interior needs so much help. And Dontari Poe could be what they wanted Marcell Dareus to be at half the price.
Yeah, he certainly can be. And on the other side of that, there are a lot of guys in the draft that I think can do the same thing, especially defensive tackle. I mean, there's, you know, Vita Vea from Washington, Daron Payne from Alabama, and Maurice Hurst from Michigan, who all can play that same kind of style and look like they could be forces in the NFL. And with the Bills having, at least right now, two first-round picks, it would not surprise me at all to see them go and use one of those on a defensive tackle.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, Nate. I think they are going to expend at least one pick, probably pretty high, on the defensive interior. And I think, you know, you kind of have to find the right blend of skill sets, but it would be nice if they could, you know, get Dontari Poe and one of those guys, but a lot of them have a similar skill set. So are there any other draft prospects that you see that would fit well alongside Dontari Poe?
Are you talking in terms of on the interior line or just anywhere across the defensive line?
I was thinking more interior, but feel free to expand to the defensive ends as well.
So one guy who I really, really like is Taven Bryan from Florida. He is crazy athletic. He plays more as like a five technique, so a little bit wider. And so someone like Poe could be over the guard and center, and Bryan can play out wide. He's a little bit smaller, and he is crazy, crazy athletic and has a ridiculous explosion off the snap. And he's someone who needs a little bit of work, but this contrast between him and someone like Poe could potentially wreak havoc on opposing offensive lines if Taven Bryan developed.
Right, and even if the Bills didn't expend, you know, a first or a second round pick on a guy like Bryan, I think Adolphus Washington could play a pretty good complement to Dontari Poe as well, because he's a smaller defensive tackle, a bit more of an athletic guy. I think that could be a good fit just to build the defensive line around for a few years if you can get Dontari Poe in the center.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what the Bills do in free agency, because that will give us a lot of insight into what their draft thoughts might be. Because if they go out and they sign a guy like Dontari Poe before the draft, it's extremely less likely that they're going to go spend a first round pick on a defensive tackle. Or if they go out and they sign someone like Poe, they also re-sign Kyle Williams, and now you have three guys on the defensive line that are probably going to be on the roster next year. Is it worth going and drafting a rookie high in the draft? Probably not. And then maybe you can go spend one of those picks on an edge rusher instead of a tackle.
Right. And I think, you know, a lot of it, like you said, it's going to, whatever the Bills do in free agency is going to signal what they're going to do in the draft. And if they do decide to go with a guy like Dontari Poe and spend the money there, and they don't spend it on EJ Gaines and or Preston Brown, then we know the Bills are really looking to add another corner or a middle linebacker in the draft. So I think it depends on what the Bills have on their board, who they think is going to drop in the draft, and how they, you know, value a guy like Dontari Poe. I know we've been going on Poe here for a little bit. Are there any other defensive tackles in the free agent market that you think the Bills would sign?
I don't think so. One guy that is a little bit interesting to me is Star Lutele from the Panthers. And we're going to cut this out. I can't remember exactly his deal. But I know he's like a, he might not, is he a free agent or is he like a?
Yes, he's a free agent. He's listed at, he's all the way down at 20 on this list.
Okay. Yeah, so Star Lutele from Carolina. Now there's a few reasons for him being potentially a good fit in Buffalo. First, obviously, is his familiarity with the front office and the coaching staff. He played for these guys for a couple years in Carolina. And he is, when healthy, has been a force in the middle of the line. He is slightly older. I think he'll be 29 years old when this season starts, and he had a bit of a down year this past year compared to his prior years. Especially, I mean, his rookie year was probably his best year as a pro, and then last year, so 2016 would have been his second best year, but he played less snaps. Even though he played the same amount of games, he played 10% less snaps, and the Panthers didn't use him the same way. So, if they are kind of falling out of favor with him, is he someone the Bills want? And it's kind of the same deal that we were talking about with Kirk Cousins. If the Redskins don't want him, there's probably some issue we have to at least consider. And I think it's the same kind of thing there with Star Little Lee.
Right, and I think that's a guy that has, you know, that name value because he was a first-round pick, and he was one of the most highly touted prospects in 2013. And he just hasn't ever really shook out to be what he was evaluated at then. But, you know, maybe the Bills can get him really cheap and he becomes a decent starter for them, you know, kind of on a prove-it deal. But, you know, I'd prefer them to spend the money on a guy like Poe that you know is a good player and can really anchor that defense, you know, for the short to medium term.
Yeah, and I actually think Poe is going to be cheaper than Star Little A. I think Star Little A is going to get like a four for 30 something million dollars this offseason. And Poe, because of what Poe has gone through with playing poorly, getting cast away by the Chiefs, signing a 1-year deal in Atlanta, I think it's just a different situation than a guy coming off his rookie deal who has been a good to great player when he's been healthy.
I think you're right on that evaluation there, Nate. So I know we started to touch on some of the draft prospects. And like we said, a lot of it plans on, or is kind of hinges on what the Bills do in free agency. So are there any defensive tackles or defensive ends that you see that if they're there, it picks 21 and 22, if the Bills don't move up, that the Bills have to take them? There's no way they can pass on a guy.
So for me, at defensive end, the guy I like the best, I think, of all the defensive ends is Arden Key. And there's a couple reasons I like him. First of all, Tre'Davious White has been lobbying the Bills to draft this guy. And if Tre'Davious White likes someone, I'm all in on him, especially given what Tre'Davious White has did in Buffalo as a rookie and the being another guy coming out of LSU and kind of coming out of the same system. And if Tre'Davious White, with his work ethic, likes a guy, I tend to like the guy as well. And he is – Arden Key has ridiculous talent. He hasn't always put it together, and he's had a couple off-the-field issues that really hurt him towards the end of his career. But I think the Bills have to draft him if he's available.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Obviously, the top prospect is Bradley Chubb. He's going to be gone in the first 10 picks. Even if there are five or six quarterbacks that go in the first 10 picks, Bradley Chubb is one of the best players on the defensive side of the ball. But I think you have a pretty good evaluation of Key there. If he's there at 21 or 22, that's a guy that's really hard to pass up on.
There's another guy that I really like and I think is a fit in Buffalo is Harrison Phillips, Stanford defensive tackle. I think that he's a Buffalo guy. And he reminds me a lot, actually, of Kyle Williams. And being compared to Kyle Williams is a pretty good thing, especially in Buffalo. And he does kind of struggle with double teams. And he's not the greatest pass rusher, but he is ridiculous in the run game. Absolutely ridiculous. And I think he's valued mid to late first round, and if the Bills stay at 21-22, I really like him there.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good evaluation. And if the Bills do not sign someone a defensive tackle in free agency, that's a guy that has a pretty reasonable shot of being available at 21-22. And like I said, I think he's kind of almost slept on a little bit compared to some of the other defensive tackle prospects. I know this is a pretty deep defensive tackle draft, but you have to be pretty happy as a Bills fan if you get him that deep.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, the two real knocks on him are his size and his potential limitations as a pass rusher. I mean, he didn't really have too much struggle in college getting to the quarterback, but at the NFL level, he does have some limitations. He's not the longest guy, and he's small, so that could hurt him in that category. But then, I mean, you look around the NFL at some of the best defensive tackles in the game. They're not this huge maulers anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Donald dropped to, like, 13th overall or something like that in that draft because they thought he was too short. And, I mean, he's the best player in the league regardless of or relative to position, I think. So, I mean, it's tough to see how some of these guys are going to project to the NFL, but I think size is overvalued a lot in this league.
Yeah, especially given the transition the league has been kind of making to more of these college-style offenses or having college concepts in the offenses, and it requires faster, more athletic defenders, especially on the defensive line, given some of the RPOs that teams run and the requirements to either be responsible for a quarterback or be responsible for your running back coming out of the backfield sometimes. And that's something the Bills, I think, need to get better at, is they don't have a ton of that team speed on the front seven. I mean, they have Jerry Hughes, who tracks guys really well across the field. But beyond that, I mean, Preston Brown is not a great pass defender in the linebacker position. And Shaq Lawson has a similar struggles if he does need to drop back or chase guys across the field. So I think getting faster and more athletic across the front four is a need for them going into 2018.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Nate. It seems like the whole NFL has just transitioned pretty rapidly, almost in the way that the NBA has, where the defenders are just getting smaller and faster, and offensive lines haven't really changed. They're still these big, fat, slow guys. So if you can get more guys like Jerry Hughes on that front four, maybe couple it with a big mauler like Dontari Poe to eat up a couple blocks, I think, you know, the Bills could really, I think we're going to see them completely revamp that front four going into the 2018 season. I think we're going to see a big improvement regardless of what they decide to do. It just seems like they have to regress towards the mean because they did have some talent on that side of the ball.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with the idea that they can't really do it a ton worse next year, especially rushing the passer. Their history, the last 5 to 6 years, they've been a pretty good pass rushing team, and I think they get back to some of that next year. What do you think, right as of right now, who do you think is going to be starting across the front four in 2018?
So I think Jerry Hughes and Shaq Lawson are pretty much givens to be starters this year. I don't know about their future long term, but I think they're definitely starting in 2018. I think we're going to see a drafted defensive tackle be the starter. There's a lot of options there, so I'm not going to give a specific name prediction there. And I think Dontari Poe is going to be a starter on the Bills' defensive line.
So I'll agree with three of the four guys there. I think Kyle Williams is going to come back to Buffalo. I think he'll play one more season, and that'll give the Bills time to find a replacement for him, because right now they basically have to replace two guys in defensive tackle. And I think being able to get Kyle Williams back, and then I think they're gonna have a rookie next to Kyle Williams. I don't think they're gonna go spend money in free agency, big money, starter money on the defensive line.
I think that's a pretty good evaluation, Nate. Kyle Williams definitely would help fill that void, but like we said, it has everything to do with what the Bills decide they need to bring back on the defensive side of the ball. If they bring back EJ Gaines, I think Kyle Williams is a pretty good bet to be a starter defensive tackle, because they're not going to be able to sign and draft a guy that are really good starting capable players or caliber players there in the middle. So we'll have to see what unfolds with what they do with Preston Brown and EJ Gaines, and you know what Kyle Williams decides he wants to do with his future. So I trust Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to really figure out what they want to do with this defensive front four. So before we wrap things up here, I just want to talk about how important it is to get pressure with four in today's NFL. You know, we saw how good the Eagles' defense was, and they didn't have a great secondary, but I thought they got really good pressure without bringing the blitz. And that's the key to beating really good quarterbacks like Tom Brady.
Yeah, I completely agree. And who was the Eagles' defensive coordinator this season?
That would be one Jim Schwartz.
And the last time the Bills had sustained success getting to the quarterback with four guys rushing the passer was when Jim Schwartz was the defense coordinator in Buffalo. And I think you see what Jim Schwartz is capable of doing when you look at a team like Philadelphia and what they're able to do this year. And I still regret the Bills losing him. I thought he was a great defensive coach, and the style he played is the style you need to play to be successful in today's NFL. I mean, Leslie Frazier does do a lot of similar things to Jim Schwartz, but Jim Schwartz's defense are very difficult to play against because of the pressure they're able to generate just in the front four.
Right. And, you know, people talked about how good this Bills defense was through 5 or 6 weeks when they were forcing all those turnovers. And, you know, you and I looked at the numbers of the defensive line and we said, you know, those turnovers aren't sustainable. They aren't getting pressure with four, because that's what causes turnovers. If you're getting turnovers without getting pressure with that front four, it's largely luck. Yes, the Bills do have a really good secondary, but a lot of those turnovers, if you go back and watch, are just complete freak accidents for the most part.
Yeah, and if they weren't freak accidents, they were caused by blitzes. Like, the one that really stands out to me is the Matt Ryan fumble in Atlanta that Tre'Davious White returned for a touchdown. That was a delayed blitz, and he brought two linebackers and the defensive line, and multiple guys got to Matt Ryan, and he tried to rush the throw, fumbled, returned for touchdown. When they were able to get pressure, it was because they were bringing those blitzes with multiple linebackers and letting their secondary make plays off of it. And that's how a lot of the interceptions happen too, is they bring blitzes and the Bills safeties would just eat up the rush throw or the forced throw from the quarterback.
Yeah, and I think just for long-term success, they have a really good core with Trey White and Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer in the secondary. Those guys are good regardless if you're getting pressure. So if they can really shore up this defensive line, the Bills are going to go from, you know, kind of a bottom half of the league defense to one of the best in the league if they can put this front four together without, you know, needing help from the linebackers on blitzes.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if Sean McDermott gets the two most important players in his defense, and he has guys that he believes in there, which is three technique and middle linebacker, the Bills defense could easily be a top 10, top 5 defense next year. And that's why I'm very curious to see what they do at those two positions this offseason going forward.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to depend on what they decide to do at linebacker too. And if they improve that front four, it makes it easier on the linebackers. You know, they lack a lot of speed there. We'll get into that next week when we break down linebackers. But just, if you have a really strong front four and a secondary, it makes it easier on the other part of that defensive unit.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have to necessarily worry about chasing faster, smaller players all over the field, which is what they spent a lot of last year doing. And they can focus on tackling, which is what they're really, really good at. The Bills are one of, if not the best tackling team in football, with the exception of a couple of games in the middle of the season last year. They really don't miss tackles, and that's one thing I was very impressed with across the board with them this year.
Yeah, they have McDermott instilled a sense of discipline that we hadn't seen since the Jim Schwartz defense of 2014. You know, the Rex Ryan years, we saw guys missing tackles, not attempting tackles. It was really good to see, you know, that secondary making plays. And really, pretty much everyone on the defensive line were good tacklers. It was just they're usually getting blown off the ball. So if they can improve that front four, I think we're going to see the Bills' defense really take a leap forward here in 2018.
Yeah, I agree. I'm expecting pretty big things from the front four in 2018. And if the Bills are going to make the playoffs yet again, they're going to need the defense to improve significantly because turnovers they forced last year like you said, are just not sustainable. And a significant portion of that is luck. And I think they need to, if they can generate pressure on the quarterback and keep their team in games, give their offense shorter fields, that's how the Bills might return to the playoffs. It's not going to be an offensive-led team.
Yeah, so I think that pretty much wraps up our discussion of the defensive line. It's going to be fun as we get forward or go forward closer to draft season, where we can play out some mock draft scenarios and some future pods. But for now, that brings us to the end of Episode 5 of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pollinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber. Subscribe, download, give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast so others can give it a listen. Also, you can check us out on Twitter @Bills_Breakdown and on Facebook @Bills Breakdown. Thanks for listening.